Okay, today's Daf Chavah, but we're going to go back to Daf Chav Hey on the base. It's a suya called Avanka. Avanka. Can you pronounce it? Avarnika. Okay, what's the translation of Avanka? They have an article where how they translate the Avanka. It's a booth. Okay, it's a interesting sugya. There are two Mahalchim and Rashi, Halom Shat and Sugya. For the sake of brevity, we're going to learn like Rashi's second parish, which appears at the end of the Gemara. It's a little bit different than the first parish. If you look on Daf Chavav, Amid Aleph, you look the second wide line, the medium-sized wide line, it says, V'shuvus ha-go'inim v'tzas b'lash nacher v'yosha b'einai me'oid. A very unique expression. Rashi says, everything that he says, okay, it's not really important. But thank you very much. But Rashi says there are two mahalchim in the sugya, and we're going to learn now like the second parish, which is what Rashi says, Yosha Be'enov Me'oid. Very pleasing in his eyes. Okay, here they try to touch the word Avarnkar as an orchard. Oh no, that's the bustam. An arbor. Okay, it's an enclosure. It's a small enclosure in an orchard. Okay, so let's leave some faith. Let's see. The Gemara says, Ahi ab varnkom the havalele reshkalusa bibustine. Now, bibustine is an orchard. So we have here a very large orchard. The orchard is larger than a base of sayim. And the halacha is an area that's larger than the base of sayim, you're not allowed to carry if it's not hukaf l'dira. Even though there are four real solid walls, and four real solid walls minatayrus reshus hayochid, being that it's larger than a base of sayim, it's larger than the size of the chotzer hamishkan, it's larger than 70 plus amas, 70 and 270, but approximately 71 amas by 71 amas. The chotzer hamishkan was 100 amas in length by 50 amos wide. When you square out the rectangle 100 by 50, it's approximately 71 by 71. Any area that is larger than 71 amos by 71 amos is larger than the classic, than the prototype chotzer in the Torah, the chotzer hamishkan, midrabanan, even if it's four solid walls, which means in the Torah it's a reshus hayochid deraisa, being that this enclosure has not been set up for the purpose of dwelling, for living, it's just there as an orchard. It's there, the walls are there to enclose the orchard, it's there for other reasons, but it's not there for the purpose of man living there day and night. One is not allowed to carry there, one is not allowed to carry there on Shabbos. You're not allowed to carry more than Dalet Amos. It has a din, so to speak, of a Rishos HaRabin. So we have over here an orchard. The orchard is in the category of an enclosure that's larger than a base of Sayim. Sheloy Hukaf Ladira. You're not allowed to carry there. What happened? In the middle of this orchard, there was what was called this Ab Varnka. It gets the Machlokes Rashi, there's two perushim from the Goinim, and from Rashi's first interpretation what this is. We're going to learn now that it's a little booth. What was the purpose of this little booth? It was to put your, primarily it says to put your clothing. When you would go for a stroll in the garden, every so often you would want to go for a stroll in the garden, view the beautiful trees and things that are in the garden, and it's hot, so you want to hang up your coat. So the little booth, in that booth, you take off your coat, you take off your jacket, and you hang it up there, and then it's guarded there, it's enclosed. You don't have to be afraid that a squirrel is going to take it away, or some creature will walk off with it, or let's say you have with you a briefcase, or you have a sefer, or you have some possessions, and you want to put them aside, so you put them aside in this little booth when you go for the stroll in the Avanka. Now, what happened? It was going to soon be Shabbos, and now this orchard opened up to a palace, opened up into the residence of the Reish Galusa. It was a beautiful spring day, Chodesh Aviv, and on Shabbos they wanted to have a picnic. They wanted to eat a meal in this booth. So this booth, which is normally there for like a little hut, whatever, they wanted to go out to the garden and eat a meal in this hut. The problem is, how on Shabbos are you able to bring the kelim, the food, and the utensils from your home to this little hut? You can't, because to get from the home to the hut, you have to walk and carry through the garden. And the garden, even though the garden has four walls, it's not been put up for the purpose of dwelling. It's not hukuf ledira. Being that it's not hukuf ledira, you're not allowed to carry. You're not allowed to carry in this enclosure. So he had a solution. So here we see who al abvar called the avi the lebrish galusa bibustin that was in the garden. So the Reish Galusa said to Rav Chinna, Le'evid Marta Kante, figure out a solution, Dilumachos, that tomorrow, Nechol Nahamo Hasam, tomorrow we can eat bread there. Figure out a way where we can carry the kelim from our home to this little booth. Ozal. So what did Rav Huna do? What did Rav Huna Bar Chanina do? Ozal. Ovid kana kana pachos mishloisha. He went and he took sticks and he made a little fence. A little fence that went between the home, that went between the area, the home of the Reish Galusa, like a two walls, like a path going from the home to this little booth. So let's say, for example, this Gemara, for argument's sake, is this Gemara, let's make believe, is the garden. And this garden has four walls. And this little box, okay, is the home of the Reish Galusa. Okay, this home. And here in the middle of this orchard, is the Avarnika, is the little booth. They want to be able to eat in this booth tomorrow on Shabbos. Problem is, you can't carry from your home to the little booth. Even though the orchard is surrounded by four walls, the orchard's four walls don't count for nothing because it's more than a beis hasayin. Any enclosure that's larger than a beis hasayin that's not been put up for the purpose of living, like a baseball stadium. Okay, well, let's say you have Midwood Field in Flatbush and Avenue L and East 17th Street, 16th Street, you have a big field with a big fence. That's a classic example of a karfeif. It has four walls, it's surrounded on four sides. I assume by where the train is also closed, I'm assuming. Somehow it's closed, well, let's assume for now it is. Not sure, maybe it's not. It has a fence all around, even in the back, by the train. That's a classic example. It's a big football field with the small bleachers. It's completely enclosed on all four sides with four walls, but it's not been put up for the purpose of living within. There's no watchman that sits there 24/7. There's no booth there for. There's no one living there. That's for sure, as far as I know. Now legally, what?
I did work there. Nobody living there.
No one living there. Four walls, and it's definitely larger than a base society. So are you allowed to carry in there? Absolutely not. Now we have, right along the edge, we have the home of the Reish Galusa. And the Reish Galusa, inside, they set up a little tent, like, let's say, they set up a, make sure you're doing the right picture, because there are two pictures. There's the Mahalach of the Goinim. I'm doing a picture of the Goinim, with the booth in the middle. Right, the booth in the middle. So they set up one of those little media booths, a little tent in the center, and you want to be able to eat there and bring kelim, so we make a little picket fence. He stuck reeds from the opening of the Reish Galusa. Each piece of wood was less than 3 tefachim from each other.
10 tefachim high. Yeah.
10 tefachim high, and there was less than 3 tefachim in between each little stick, which served as a makeshift wall. It served as a makeshift wall leading from the booth to the Avarnka, to the booth, enabling, and that's going to be the solution to be able to carry from the home to the booth. So this was the solution of Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna Bar Chinna, Rav Huna Bar Chinna, Lev Mar Takanto, the Mach Nechol Hanam HaHasam, we can eat bread there tomorrow. Ozal, he went, Ovid Kana Kane, he put in eats. Pachas pachas mishlaisha ozal Rava. So Rava was very disturbed. Rava felt there's no need. You don't need to make any takana whatsoever. Why not? Because being that there's a booth in the center, that booth automatically is a dira. And if that's a dira, automatically the walls that surround the garden are enhancing the dira. Everyone agrees that if you have a very, let's say Midwood Field, our example, was put up in order to accommodate a watch. Let's say they had a booth there that was part of the structure. There's a booth and there's someone living there 24/7. That's the way it's set up. And then they built a fence around it. Everyone agrees you're allowed to carry an entire enclosure on Shabbos, because then that very large area is all coming to enhance, it's all coming to protect, to enhance the person that's living within this enclosure. The only time you're not allowed to carry an enclosure that's larger than the base of Sayin is if no one is living inside. But if someone is living inside, even if the area is miles, it's vast, and it's completely closed, it's mutter, because that entire area is all constructed for the purpose of someone that's living inside. If he likes to go on a nice hike on Shabbos, it's all for his benefit. So then it's mutter to carry there. So along comes Rava, and Rava basically says, you don't need to make any takana. The Reish Galusa, when he asks Rabba Bar Chinuna, to make a takana, was mistaken. There's no need to do anything, since in the center we have here this arvanka, this little booth. This booth is a dira. Automatically, the walls that surround it with all four sides are coming to enhance this dira, and there's nothing more that needs to be done. Okay? So, what did he do? He took the reeds, this little fence, and he knocked it down. So what happened? Ozal Rava, Shalfinu, Rava came along and he knocked down this little fence that was put up in order to serve as a path from the home of the Reish Galusa to the booth. Ozal Rav Papa, so not only did Rava take matters, now Rava just knocked it down. Now, he did it probably, we're assuming he did it Friday morning. Let's make an assumption. Which means that if the Reish Galusa or Rav Huna Bar Chinuna would come and notice that someone knocked down his fence, he would have time to put it back up. In order that no one should come put it back up, Ozla Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yeshua, Naktinu Mi Basre, took it away. They picked up the pieces of wood and they shipped it out, so no one should be able to come and put these little pieces of wood back in place. In other words, they're trying to be mechazek Rava's protest. Rava was telling the people, you don't need to do anything. You want to eat in the booth? Go right ahead. You can carry from your home, the Reish Galusa's home, into the, it's open directly into this large enclosure. You can carry from the home into the enclosure to the booth, set up the table, eat, because it's been all established the Shem Dira. Okay? So Lamachar, the next day. So what happens? Now it's already nighttime, it's in this next day, it's Shabbos morning. The Reish Galusa wants to go have a picnic in this booth. And now he realizes that the fence that was put up by Rav Chinuna, by Rav Huna, Bar Chinuna, was removed. So he doesn't know what to do. The Reish Galusa, who's right? Yeah.
It's attached to... It's also Dira, so why is not...
Excellent question. It's an excellent point. So we have to assume that it was built later on.
What?
It was built later on.
Ah, okay.
Or it wasn't originally connected. It was connected at a later point. And originally there was an orchard that was built. And later, the Reish Galusa built a house. Okay, it's a very good point. When you learn the Sugya B'Iyun, that's a major issue that must be dealt with. Being that the Reish Galusa's residence opens up into the garden, automatically it should be considered an extension of his bayis, it should be mutter. Ein hachinami, let's put it aside now simply by saying that it was originally not constructed in that way. It was originally a standalone garden. He built his house here later on, and they later built the booth later on, and now we have this dilemma, so now we got a very big problem. What are we going to do tomorrow? It's now the next day. It Shabbos morning, the Reish Glus wants to take food from his house into the Avanka, but he does not know what to do, does not know who is right. Is Rav Huna Bar Chinuna right? That you need two walls leading from your house to the garden? Or is Rava and Rav Papa, Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua, they right that you don't need to do anything? And the Reish Galusa, he needs now really to rely upon Rava and Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua in order to permit him to carry from the house into the booth because the walls have been destroyed. So what happens? So the next day, so along comes Ravina, and Ravina asks a kasha to Rava. In other words, he says to Rava, Rava, Esrei, this is where they're going. This is why Rashi says, Yosha the Einayim Oid. Rashi likes this tradition very much. That he said, Rava, you blew it. You made a very big mistake. You do need here a fence on two sides to allow you to carry from the house to the booth. You know why? Because it's too late. What's the reason why you, Rava, said you allowed to carry from the house into the garden? Because the walls of the garden are serving the booth. So if the walls of the garden serve the booth, it doesn't matter how big the garden is. It can be infinite in size, because now, being that there's a deer inside, it's good. Along comes Ravina, that's only true if the booth was built first. If Midwood Field was built first, and then they set up in the center, on the 50-yard line, they set up a little house, you're not allowed to carry in Midwood Field. You have to destroy, you have to take down part of the wall, a significant chunk of the wall of Midwood Field, and put it up again, l'shem mitzvah sedira. It's no different. Even though he doesn't know when it was built. It's an incredible chiddush. A lot of Samarim and Shulchan Aruch that have discussed this.
Before there was a fence around Midwood Field.
What?
I remember before there was a fence around Midwood.
And what was there? Nothing, same thing.
Just open.
Just up, wow, that was before my time. Okay. But it had, why? Because even though it's true now, currently there's someone living and he's making use of the environment, if the wall was put up, Shaloy L'Shem Dira, in Lumdis, incredible chiddush, it's not a kosher wall. It's not a kosher wall, at least midrabanan, to allow you to carry. You have to demolish a chunk of the wall. That's a complicated thing. How much must you demolish? I think a very small amount, like 10 amas. Demolish a chunk of the wall and put up the wall again, l'shem dira, and then the whole wall is once again good. So Ravina is telling Rava, what have you accomplished? Let's look at the situation. It's true. You have over here lo yosei mebeis hasayin, shelo yikaf l'dira. They have the booth, the Avarnko was put later. It's too late. And it's where do we have in halacha precedent that it depends when the wall was put up? That's the sugi of this perek for Erev Tchumen. What's Erev Tchumen? Erev Tchumen, if you're going, you have to measure 2,000 amos from the last home where you can carry on Shabbos. Let's say you have a city, and the city has a very large wall that surrounds the entire city. But from the last home until the city, there's three miles, right? More than 2,000 amos, whatever it is. You have a city, and there are only a small number of residents. You only have a few people living in the city, and they built a massive wall around the city because they're hoping that one day people are going to move into the city. But in the meantime, there's no one living in the city. You have just a few people. And now you want to walk on Shabbos 2,000 amos. So where do you measure the tchum? Do you measure the tchum from the last house in this community, or do you measure tchum from the city wall? So it depends. If the wall was constructed first, there was a wall put up, and then people moved in, then you measure from the community where the people live, because the wall was not put up for the people. The wall was put up to enclose this area, whatever it was, a park, whatever it was. There was no one living here. The wall was put up. You cannot consider that wall to be considered the wall of a city. For 2,000 amos, to measure the tchum, because it was not put up for the people of the city. The people came later. Oh, they decided to give out. There's a wall. It's a nice area inside. We'll live here and we'll have a wall. it's too late. You have a little community, the tchum is meshed from the last house of the community. But if the community establish themselves first, and then they build the wall, and they have plans, big hasagas, that they're going to expand the city, it's going to be a very big city, they build the wall very, very far away, even though there's a very large gap between the last house and the wall, the tchum is measured from the wall. So what do you learn from this halacha? You have a precedent in halacha, that just because you have a wall, the status of the wall in halacha depends on when it was built. Was it built before the residence established, or was it built after the residence established the market? Okay? Eitzer, Ravina, Lerava, Yershach, Eir Chadasha. Ravina said to Rav, Eir Chadasha, Moedin, Lami, Yeshivasa. In Eir Chadasha, we have a halach of a new city. It's a new city. We measure the city, the tchum from Yeshivasa, from where the people live, from the edge of the community, from the homes of the community. The Yeshana, an old city, from the wall of the city. Now, along comes the Gemara says, Ezuhi Chadasha v'Ezuhi Yeshana. What is Chadasha and what is Yeshana? What is Chadasha and what is Yeshana? What's the definition? Chadasha, a new city is called Shulchukva L'Besayf Yashua, where first they put up the wall and then people settle. So the wall was not put up for the people. It was put up independent of the people. The Mela, you cannot count the 2,000 Amos from the wall. You can only count from the people that are living there. Yeshana, but when can you count from the wall? An old city, Yashua, where people first set up, stay settled, and then you can count from the wall because it was made for people in the city. Now, the Hainami, in this situation as well, in this situation, when it comes to our Aravanka, what's the reason why you, Rava, took down the fence? You don't need a fence, because we have, inside we have an Aravanka, and we have walls, so you want to consider the walls to be all tofel to the Aravanka. No! The Aravanka was built after the walls. It's like an Ir Chadasha. The walls don't count. The walls came, they were built when it was Osir. When the walls were built, there was no one living inside. No one living inside. It was Yosef based on some you were not allowed to carry. Just because now you built the Aravanka, it's too late. Therefore, in order to be allowed to carry, we need to have new walls connecting the Aravanka to the bias. And it's not to, therefore, you broke the walls down. So therefore, you ruined it for the Resh Galusa. Amalites, that's strike one. Strike one against Rava. In other words, Rava's...
Now he ends up with no walls.
Exactly. So he's stuck now.
But if the walls were there before, and he's signing that the walls were there first, and the banker was there second, that's what he's signing?
Well, what do you mean? The problem was the walls were there first,
right?
And then the banker came.
So now what did he do? He removed the walls.
What? No! Now they built additional walls.
Yeah.
They built now.
And then he didn't like that, and he removed them.
Those walls were built specifically to create a path, a brand new mechitza.
And he removed it.
Rava removed it.
Now.
Why did Rava remove it?
Yeah.
I don't need it.
But now he's left with the outside wall.
Exactly. There were the outside
and
walls.
The outside wall was no good.
No good.
So if the outside wall was good, he would never have put that, the tefillah would never have put...
Well, he didn't do it, a different person did it. Rav Huna...
If those walls, if the house was there first, and then they go to the walls...
Yes.
That's why it was.
Everyone will agree that it's
no
good.
Need for that.
No need to build that little thing. So the problem was, the original people, there was a need to build that thing, really, because Rav Huna braid Rav Chimna hold that the walls are no good, he needed to build it, he built it. Rava said, you don't need it.
But why did he think the walls are no good?
Why did Rava think
the walls are no good and he needed to build that fence?
Rava knocked the walls down.
And Rav Huna built it?
Yes.
Rav Huna built it. Why did Rav Huna think that?
Because Rav Huna knew the halacha. Rav Huna knew that these original walls are no good.
They weren't arguing on the halacha.
Well, it seems they were arguing halacha. That's all. That's a little part of the question. Rav Huna bar Chinina knew that the outer walls, in his opinion, at least in his opinion, were no good. And that is why Huna Bar Chinuna built.
So he knew that they were old, they were pre-built
exactly.
Building walls.
Exactly.
And Rava didn't know that?
Either Rava didn't know it, or Rava disagreed in Halacha. Rava held in Halacha. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. It's not clear what Rava's intent was. In any event, Rava acted, he knocked him out. He told him, you're wrong. Okay, so that was that strike one. Now we're going to have three strikes. Amar Papa to Rava. Rav Papa said to Rava, Rava, what now this is very strange, because it must be a different Rav Papa. Because it was the same Rav Papa, so this whole part of the difficulty in the Gemara, there was the same Rav Papa that originally assisted. He assisted Rava by removing, Rava just knocked it down. He left all the garbage there. Rav Papa came along and took it away to prevent anyone from putting it back up. And now all of a sudden Rav Papa's making an about face and saying, Rava, what did you do? Now, it doesn't make sense, because one of Shach, whose side are you on? Are you on Rava's side? Are you on Rava's side, or are you against him? So first he was on Rava's side, he helped him out, and now he's now telling him, you made a big mistake. So it's not clear if it's the same Rav Papa, I don't know. Rav Asi, have another kasha. Mechitzas ad recalling, lo yishma mechitza, al makevan delitzini usa vida lo. Now this is according to Rashi, according to Goinim, that in this little booth, there are walls. It cannot, even if you were to consider the outer walls to be walls which enhance the dira, and even if you will tell me it doesn't make a difference, you can build them first. I'll build a dira later, and automatically, retroactively. But the problem is the inner walls of the Avarnka are not walls. It's not a dira. The only time a dira is called a dira is when you build walls to protect the people inside from the elements. If the only reason why I'm putting up a wall is because I want privacy, I don't want people seeing what I'm doing, that's not called a halachic dira. So he said to him, that this little booth cannot in halacha be considered walls, and therefore, since they're not nazal, the alum the stair, they're not walls, and in Mela, the outer walls of the garden cannot be considered walls either, because they're only as good. The outer walls are only as good as your inner walls. If this is called a dira, it's a real dira, great. Then the outer walls, the lid would feel, they're going to expand the dira greatly, because it's coming to protect the dira. But if this is not a dira, then the outer fence of midwood field can't enhance what you only can supplement what you already have. You don't have anything, you can't work. So the avarnka itself, the nature of the avarnka is not meant, it's shvach walls, they're not really walls, they can't protect you from the rain, from the wind. It's just there, it's a small private, it gives you a little privacy in the springtime when you want to take off your jacket, you want to put it down, you want to do it. It's not really clear what these walls were for, that's a whole debate. The Goyim and Rashi, what exactly is the purpose of the avarnka? But one thing is clear, it's not a real dira. It's just like a picnic table type of thing. Okay, there are walls, the picnic table type of enclosure. Shvach and Isis. What?
Gazebo.
I can't hear.
A gazebo.
What's a gazebo? I don't know what a gazebo is. Okay, some type of shvach and Isis, like a circus type of little enclosure. The Nela, it's no good. I'm going to hear, so that's strike two. Amalei, Ese, let's back to, Amalei, Pablo, Rambar Vasi, Mechitas Adurikon. Now, where do we find the precedent for this halacha? By construction workers. People, you see this today. Today, this is a new thing. Years ago, when they put up scaffolding, when I was a little kid, I never saw them put out. I'm fascinated with construction. I always pay a lot of attention to a construction site. I sneak in, I look around, I put myself in great danger. No hard hat. I like it. It's like a certain, you know, Meshagas, certain taiva. Years ago, they never put on the outside of the scaffolding the shmatas. No, right? Do you remember years ago? Think back. Today, you go see any construction site, they have these very thick nets, right? It blocks the shade, things shouldn't fall out, things shouldn't come in, no one should see them. It's a new thing. So the Gemara is, this existed in the time of Chazal. Construction workers building a wall, it's hot, there's a lot of rain and shade and cold and sun. So they put up a shemata on the outside of the scaffold to protect them from the elements. Are those called halachic walls for Shabbos? The answer is no. Because they're not put there for the purpose of living, they're just put there for the purpose of protection. It's litzinusa, so they can doze off on the job and no one will know the difference. Therefore, so we have over here a legal, another example of halacha, when we find the precedent, when you put up a mechitza, it's not l'shem dira, it's l'shem tznius, it's not called a mechitza. It's a zel bazak. When it comes to the avarnka is not l'shem dira, l'shem tznius. The nela can't be wool. If that cannot be wool, then the outer wool of the paradise cannot be called a wool either. Almost, Rabasi, mechitza ad adirochal, the mechitza of the workers. Almost, what do we see? Even since the litznu savido, lo loy have mechitza. It's not called a mechitza. Hachinami, even litznu savido. When it comes to the avanka, loy have a mechitza. Okay, next kasha. Strike two. That's what
we're learning. Everything from the Mishnah,
basically. Yes, but these are the drabbanan. These are the whole halacha mina Torah
because the walls were not for building. They were
right. They were for the
tznius.
Well, the walls of the Azara were for tznius. The world was very clear. The chutzner and the azorah, when the kohen did the avodah, people shouldn't look and saw what they're doing. It was l'shem tznius. But one is the base hamid is not l'shem dira. It's l'shem tefila avodah. It's not l'shem dira. Okay, we're just learning from the chutzner and mishkan just the dimensions. I mean, at Torah there are four walls. Go shayochet. Okay, weiter. Next kash number three. We strike three. The chitz of Amar Rav Huna ben Rav Yishlu Rav Rav Huna said the chitz asul lenachas. Now lenachas in this context means for shmira. Again, it's not for living. It's for to guard. And the example we're going to go give over here is that we have over here, we have a city. So normally, if you have a small city, you can just make one large Eruv Chatzeros, one large Shitufei Mavos for the whole city. So there's a city, and there are different neighborhoods, and normally you would make one large Shituf, and you can carry the entire city together. But we'll see here that Rabbi Avua did not allow this city to make one large Eruv Shitufei Mavos, because he required each neighborhood to make a separate Shituf. Why? Because he felt that the wall that surrounded the city was not a kosher wall. Why not? There's a wall around the entire city. So he looked at the wall and discovered that, let's say, 80% of the wall was a real wall, but there were certain sections of the wall that was not a real wall. It was only constructed to make sure that the animal food was not stolen or did not leak out of the city. It was not constructed for protection from the outside. And normally, in ancient times, you know, Tanakh, a walled city, you're afraid the enemy's going to get inside. This city, they weren't afraid of anyone. Okay, that was the situation. There was no fear that someone was going to come into the city. Why was there a wall? Oh, there was a wall. For whatever reason, there was a wall. The wall wasn't a gewaldig wall. There were gaps. The gaps happened to be in place where they stored animal food. They didn't want the animals, one, they didn't want the food to fall outside, so they put up like a makeshift wall to protect the wall. So it happens to be, when you look at the city, wow, there's a wall around the city. But in reality, most of the part of the wall was not enclosed for the purpose of the people. It was closed for shmira, for the animal food. That's not called a wall for Shabbos. Zel bezach, the avarnka, the wall of the avarnka is not a wall of dira. It's a wall for shmira, to guard your briefcase when you go for a stroll in the garden. It's not a real wall. Mela, it cannot count. Same idea. So here we go. When the mechitza usul nachas, that's made for guarding. Loy shma mechitza. What's the proof? The horav rabbar avu ma'arv lekulu mechoza. The city of mechoza. He made an eruv. Arsiyasa, neighborhood by neighborhood. Nishon, because peru de bei torei, because of the food, or the peru really here means the ditches of the oxen. Now, what does that mean? That means the ha peru de bei torei, the peru de bei torei, the ditches of the oxen kimechitza hasul nachastam, because the ditches of the oxen where they stored the food, that part of the wall was meant lenachas, was only there because they wanted to guard, to protect the food. It wasn't because it was there to enclose for the people, for the protection of the people living inside of the city. They couldn't care less about that. That wasn't the issue. The issue was the animal food. It was lenachas. So therefore, the bottom one, just like there, mechitzos lenachas, not called the mechitza. When it comes to the avarnko, the walls of the avarnko were not made for the living. They're made l'shmira. They were made to guard things inside. They're not meant to guard people. They were meant to guard objects. So whatever was inside, it was not a full-fledged structure meant for living. If that's not called a mechitza, the walls of the orchard are no better than the walls of the Avarnka. If the walls of the Avarnka are not walls Ladira, then the walls of the garden, which enhance it, are also no better than the garden. So what do we result? The result is that the bottom line is the garden is an area that's large in the base of Sayim, Sheloi Hukaf Ladira, and then Sheloi Hukaf Ladira, you're not allowed to carry there more than Dal Ramas, and you're not allowed to carry from the bayis to the Avanka, and the only solution would have been to make this makeshift partition, these movable partitions. Right, you have a movable partition, you roll them out. Yeah, we'll see the movable partition, just roll them out like by a chasna. That's exactly really what he did. He took some sticks, he rolled them out, he made a movable partition, and now Rava came along and he destroyed it. So the bottom line over here is, let's review what happened. Okay, let's review the whole story. The Reish Galusa has a little house. He has a beautiful garden. To carry in the garden under normal circumstances is forbidden, because the garden is an area that's not took of Ladiritz, Dyoitsemi, Beis Sosayim, Medrabon, and Sos to carry. The Reish Galusa, in this little garden, there was a little hut, a little, what's it called?
Gazebo.
A little gazebo inside this little thing. The Reish Galusa wanted to have a Shabbos Suda there. Beautiful weather, Chodesh Aviv. So what did he do? He told Huna Bar Chinna, I want to eat there on Shabbos, we have to carry from my home into Yubi Mavira the Halacha, figure out what to do, whatever cost, I'll pay for it, make sure we have our suda there in the gazebo on Shabbos Kodesh. Huna Bar Chinna, what?
Before he didn't do it.
What?
Before.
He never did this, it's the first time.
He do know it's not allowed.
For what?
He do know it's not allowed.
What's not allowed?
He do know he's not allowed to do it. He's never do it.
This is the
before.
First time the Reish Galusa is trying to do this. So
yeah.
He doesn't have to understand.
This is the first time the Reish Galusa, he has his house, the garden, the first time. He told Chinna Bar Huna Bar Chinna, you figure out a solution and whatever it costs. So he was Mavar the Halacha. He realized that it's Shloikaf Ladiwa, you know they carry there. There's a little hut here. It's a joke, it's not a dira. So we got to make a new mechitza. How are we going to carry? So, you know what? We'll build. He went to a Home Depot. He bought some sticks, gesundheit, and he put up a little mechitza which connected the home to the avarnka. I made a new rishus hayach and l'shem for this purpose, and he was satisfied. Rava comes along and he sees what's happening here, and Rava says, "What is Huna Bar Chinna doing? You don't need to do anything. So waste the money. Like it did, you don't need anything. It's good. There's an avanka. An avanka is a dira. There are walls, and the walls enhance the dira. It's good." So Rava went. He knocked down the mechitza, and along came his assistants, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bar Chinna, Rav Yeshua, and they even went further. They took it away. They carted out the broken piece of wood out, no one should put back. Come Shabbos, the Reish Galusa says, what do I do now? Huna Bar Chinna went and he thought that it's usher, and that's why he made a takana. Rava said it's mutter. Who's right? So along comes three Talmidei Chachamim, and they tell the Reish Galusa that Huna Bar Chinna is right, and Rava was wrong for three reasons. Number one, because even if you want to say that it's a dira, it's too late. The walls were built first. So even if you want to say mamish, the gevaldik, mordik adira, it's mamish Fort Knox. This is Spitz dira. Doesn't matter. What did you build first? This halacha lemaisa, shulchan aruch. It's serious business. You can't carry there. Let's say you don't want to say that. It's not called a dira. Either it's litznius, or it's the nachas. And well, tznius nachas does not make it into a shayachid. Nimele, if the avarik is not a shayachid, the outer walls are not going to be any better. So what are the Rish Galusis? The Rish Galusis says, I'm stuck. I'm now stuck because the wall has been, my little makeshift partition has been demolished, and now I'm not allowed to walk here according to the consensus of the three Chachamim. So now he tells them, Kori alayu the Rish Galusis Chacham Hema. The Chachamim to cause evil. They have made a problem for me. And they don't have a solution. They don't know how to find a solution. Why don't they use their brilliant minds to find a heter for me to allow me to carry from my home to Yabia Varnaka? So the Chachamim lehora. But ulehetiv lo yad, unbelievable Gemara. Okay, so this is according to, by the way, we learned the Gemara, we don't have time to go into the detail, but if you look, just look over here, on the bottom of the page, toward the second middle line, uvchus ha-goinim mitzosia b'loshen acher, v'yoshar be'enai me'oid. Okay, so I learned the Gemara according to the perish of the goinim, which Rashi is, this is Rashi's preferred pshat. Okay, next Gemara. Now we go to new Gemara, Amar Rabbi Lazar. Even the base core that you are allowed to carry, Rabbi Elazar disagrees. He holds there's no such halacha of a base core. You're allowed to carry in an area, course 30 saw. You're allowed to carry even in an area that's not been enclosed, even if it's 30 saw. You're allowed to carry there on Shabbos. Now the Gemara is masnis and like Chananya. What do we mean? The Tanya Chananya Omer v'afilu v'arboim saw. Because according to Rabbi Eloi, Rabbi Eliezer is only matter until 30 saw. But once you get past 30 saw. Once you get past 30 saw, then according to Rabbi Elazar, it's also only up until 30 saw. Okay, that's what it says in the Mishnah. Only when they're 30 ad the ad bichlal. But once you get past 30 saw, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees if it's shaloi hukaf ledira, it is osur. This is not like Chananya. Chananya says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that you're allowed to carry ad v'ad b'chlal 40 saw, not 30. So he gives you an additional 10 saw. What's the machleg? So the more explains. So masin look at Chananya, the one we're talking about, the Tanya Chananya, why? What's 40 saw? 40 saw is the palace, is the astratya of the king. Astratya shel melech means like the courtyard, the plaza that's in front of a typical palace. Okay, so the ayah yava. What's the machlok? The Gemara extends. Well, what's the point of disagreement between these two versions of Rabbi Eliezer? Is it 30 saw or 40 saw? On Rabbi Yochanan v'shnei mikachadosh dash in one pasuk. What's the pasuk? Shnei is the pasuk. Yehi shayul lo yatzu el chotzach itu lo yatzu chotzach tichayna. Yeshayahu went to visit Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah was sick. He was about to die because Chizkiyah did not marry, and if he did not marry, The Malchus of Beis David was going to come to an end. He was the last survivor, the descendant of Malchus Beis David. And if he would not have a child, the Malchus of Beis David would come to an end. So Yeshaya, he was sick to die. He was about to die, and Hashem sent Yeshaya to give him Musar, to tell him to do tshuva and to marry, and that way he will. There is still hope. Let's see. It says in the pasuk, Yeshayahu came to. The Gemara is going to explain exactly the story. But in the meantime, it says that Yeshayahu is coming to visit the Melech. Yeshayahu is the Navi. Chizkiyahu is the Melech. Chizkiyahu, and he's coming to visit the Chotzer Hatichayna. This is a Krivich Sif. It's written Chotzer, but we pronounce it, we read an entirely different word, Ho'ir. Ksiv ho'ir. I'm sorry, the other way around. Ksiv, it says in the past, the ksiv is a city. We read a chotzer. So what's going on? So the Gemara makes a drasha. The drasha is that the chotzer, the courtyard, that is in front of the palace is as large as the average size of a city. Now today, in modern times, we think of a city, New York City, 8 million people, you know, we think of a city, it's a pretty big place. But in ancient times, a city, how big was a city already? Okay, a city was a teeny little area. 4 to 30 saw the size of the Chatzar HaMishkan was already the size of an entire city. So the debate is, what is the size of a city? One thing that we learn from here is that a Chatzar in Halacha is equivalent to the size of an ancient city. And we know that from the Kri V'Chsiv in Sefer Melachim, where Yishai is coming to visit Chizkiyahu. He's coming to visit him in the Chatzar HaTichayna, the middle courtyard, which was in front of the palace. And the Kri, the Ksiv is the ear. We read Chatzar. So this indicates that the size of a courtyard, that it was in front of the palace, was equivalent to the size of an entire ancient city. How big is the size of an ancient city? This is the disagreement between the Hananya and the Tana of Rabbi Eli. Rabbi Eli says that an ancient city was 30 saw, and the Hananya says an ancient city was 40 saw. Was like the size of a middle-sized city. Okay, so it's a matter, I don't know, I'm sure there's much greater depth, I do not know more than this, that an ancient city was the size of a base core. Well, Mar Savar, Hanani was of the opinion that it was Memsa was 40 sa. Havya. Okay, now the more just goes off on a tangent. What was Yeshaya doing there? The Yeshayahu my boy Hassan. What was Yeshayahu doing? This vision, the Gemara refers him as Yeshayahu. Olam calls him Yeshaya. Because Yeshaya, we know, was murdered by, there's a whole debate, why do we call him Yeshaya? We don't call him today, people name someone Yeshaya, no one's named Yeshayahu. So it's not so clear why. So they say, I think there's a Mogen Avram, if I'm not mistaken, is because since he was killed by Menashe, his grandson murdered him. He was 120 years old, Yeshayahu, it was the whole Medrash, so it was a bad mazel. So we don't name a person after someone that had a mazel ra that he was murdered. So we drop the vav. Okay, that's not so poshut. Not everyone is so agreement. It's not really clear. I don't know. I know Rav Schwab in the Hakdama to his Sefer on Yeshaya. He touches upon this. Why Bizman Hazed? We refer Yeshaya, not Yeshayahu. He has some ideas. You have to read the Hakdama to Yeshaya, Rav Schwab's Yeshaya. Art scroll, Polish for art scroll, he explains there a little bit. But it's interesting that the Gemara, though, does refer him as the Yeshayahu. Okay, the Gemara is not, we're going on. I think that's a very interesting point. The Yeshayahu, my boy, what was Yeshayahu doing there, coming to visit Chizkiyahu? Amar Rabba, Babar Chana, Amar Biyachna, Malam Shechol Chizkiyahu, Chizkiyahu was ill, V'holach Yeshayahu, V'hishiv Yeshiva al Pischoi, and he came to establish a yeshiva on the entrance of Chizkiyahu. We know the whole story that Hashem sent Yeshayahu to give Musar to Yeshayahu, that you're going to die because of the sin of not marrying. And Chizkiyahu said, quiet. He told him, don't be moitzi divara. I have a mesora that afilu cheref munachas al tzavoro shel adam al yimone atzme min harachamim. Even in a dire situation, a person should never be miyayish, should be mispalo. And kalei nevuascha v'tzei, he told him to cease, not to continue his nevuah, and to leave. And through this discussion, it was revealed the reason why Chizkiyahu did not marry was because he saw al piruach hakodesh and he would have a menashe and an omoin that would be to a terrible averos. And he did not want to bring them into this world. So Yeshaya told him, that's not the chivshid rachmon olam loch. You have no right to, these are Hashem's doing. It's not for you to be minded to such things. And it's only for you to do Hashem's rason and to marry. And before Hashem may discuss, I want some farshim, he did not get married. Just stop me, not get married. I mentioned that in the farshim, look carefully in the farshim, they indicate that it's more than that. It's not just stop me, didn't get married. He was the last in the link of the Malchus based David. Stam, a person doesn't get married, okay, it's a terrible thing. whole purpose of creation is l'shavis yitzara, pru revu. It's a gefer l'chazach. But by Yeshaya, by Chizkiyahu, was much, much, much worse. Exponentially worse, because he was the last in the line of the Malchus based off it. And that would mean Malchus based off would come to an end. Now what exactly does that mean? We don't know. And therefore, that's why Yeshaya was harsh with Yeshayahu. You have no right not to marry, you must get married, and don't make Hashem's calculations. And in the process, he gave him his daughter in marriage. Yeshaya married Chizkiyahu, married the daughter of Yeshaya. And that somehow lessened the evil of Menashe and Amon, where eventually there was a Yoshiyahu, and there was some salvation for Klal Yisrael. So in the meantime, what did he do? He was Hoshev a Yeshiva al Pischoi, the Hoshev Yeshiva al Pischoi. He established a Yeshiva in the Chotzer Hatichoina of Chizkiyahu, Mikan Latal Mechochem Shecholo, Shemayshivin Yeshiva al Pischoi. The Gemara concludes Vlad Milsa. He is not something which has a practical application. The person should not do this because Dilma Osei Leigruye Be Satan. The Satan will see that you are trying. You're being Moshe Yeshiva al Pischoi, and he's going to try even harder to bring harm. So therefore, halach l'maisa, we do not do this. Okay, let's go by. V'chein shvan, 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 so what do you do? Let's say we have 10 people in the courtyard and one person does not join. So no one is allowed to carry from the bayis to the chatzar. So there's a concept called bitul rishus. The person who did not participate in the Eruvei Chatzeros on Shabbos should declare, I am mevatel my rishus to the other 9 people in the courtyard. Now, technically, you have to be mevatel your rishus not to one person, but to everyone, every single member of the courtyard. And now, there's another question, there are 2 issues. Question number 1 is, do you have to explicitly say, I'm mevatel my rishus to A, B, C, D, and so on, to every single member? Do you have to enumerate and specify all the people in the courtyard? Or do you only have to say one person, and it's self-understood that you're being mevatel your rights in the courtyard to every single member of the chatzar? Another issue, after you mevatel your rishus, basically what do you become? You become a guest. I am no longer, I'm an owner in this courtyard. There, let's say there are 10 people. So 9 people have joined together in an eruv chatzeros. And then there's you. So no one's allowed to carry the courtyard because the courtyard is shared by 2 different groups, by the 9 people, a collective unit, and by this individual. In order to be permitted to carry in the courtyard, it has to be one group. So in order to solve the problem, you have to be mevatlai, relinquish your rights in the courtyard. You're now a guest by the other 9 people, so now we only have 1 unit. Once you relinquish your rights in the courtyard, are the other 9 people allowed to enter your home? Are they allowed to carry from their homes to the courtyard into your home? So the question is, when you relinquish your rights in the courtyard, are you also relinquishing your rights to your home? So you become not just a guest of theirs in the courtyard, you're a guest in your own home. I'm a nothing in this courtyard. My home is the property of the 9 people in this courtyard. That will allow them, the naftaminas, that allows them to carry from your home into their home, and from their home in the courtyard, they can freely go back and forth into your home. So this is the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham, how far bitul rishus goes. So let's see. So we have a little over here. I also have chitvan menu and shechotze sheshach echamim layer of beisoy aser. So this person, basically, which means beisoy aser, when a person mevatel rishus, you only mevatel the rishus, you relinquish the rights in the courtyard. You're not relinquishing the rights in the bais. The time we learn the bais, the beisoy aser, but we learn loitzi lachnes loy v'lohem. But we learned that. We learned in the Mishnah that beisoy also lohaytziu lachnis loy v'lohem. It's also for everyone. Amrav Hunaber de Vishur Amrav Shesh Lekasha Ha Rebbe Eliezer Ha Rabban Nechanami It's Machlekes Ha Rebbe Rabbanon. How far a person goes when he relinquishes his rights. In other words, Kishatim Silem Liver Rebbe Eliezer Hamavat Lavishusay Chatzer Rishusay Beisay Rishus Chatzer Rishus Beisay Bittel Ayin Yofe. According to Rebbe Eliezer, when the person relinquishes his rights in the courtyard, he also relinquishes his rights to his home. And that allows the people to enter in his home. But according to the Rabban, Hamavat L'Rishus Chatzeroi, that's where it stops. Rishus Beisoy Loibitel, the person is not Hamavat L'Ba'ayin Yafak. We have to stop here. I just want to say one thing before we conclude, and our learning is for Refuah Shleima, of Yosef ben Itachaya. You should know that the only reason why I'm giving a shir here, Daf Yomi shir here, is because of Rav Yosef Kamenetsky. He is the one that was Meshadach Ni with the Rav when we started Daf Yomi. And I know him, and it was family, and it was shver. And it's very, very painful for all of us. And please be mispalo with a lot of kavana. Shabbat Refuah Shalem Uvakarev.